Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Three. Well, our first guest, Phil, did the deal for Lachie Schultz to get to Collingwood. He was busy then, he's been busy in previous trade periods with the likes of Jordan Clark, Jesse Hogan, Matt DeBoer, a former teammate of yours, Luke Jackson, among many others. His name, of course, is Jason Dover from TLA, based in Perth. Jason, really appreciate your time this afternoon, our time. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no worries. I was going to say good morning, but it is afternoon there, isn't it?
It is indeed. It's going very quickly. Listen, I'm sure you'd be satisfied with the way things progressed, which seemed to be really swiftly with Lachie Schultz from Fremantle to Collingwood, despite being in contract. If only they all were this straightforward, Jason. Or correct us if we're wrong, but it looked like things went pretty well.
No, it did go well, and I think when you've got two guys like David Walls and Graham Ryder are very professional and go about their business well, it probably allows things to get done quickly and efficiently if we can all get on the same page.
Before I hand you over to Phil, what was the, I guess, the motivation for Lachie to seek a move to Collingwood, given he'd hit a trigger for another year at Fremantle? What was the main motivation to come back over east?
Yeah, look, there was personal and family reasons behind it. I won't go into the exact details because I don't think that's appropriate. But the club had been aware of it for at least 12 months that there were some underlying issues there. And I think in the end, just getting back at the end of the season, having some time back there with his family and his girlfriend, I think the ties back home just grew even stronger and they realised that if they could make it happen now, it was probably the right time to try to do it rather than wait for 12 months' time. And that's when we went to Fremantle and had the conversation with them and said, look, is there something we can do now? If there is and we can deliver you better value than you'd get in 12 months' time as a free agent with Lachie, is it something you'd look at and consider doing with us?
Jason, Phil Davis here. Good to chat to you. In regards to Collingwood being the choice, was there any other clubs that Lachie entertained a discussion for, or was it sort of, I want to go home and it's Collingwood?
We'd had discussions with four or five other clubs during the season. Like Lachie had a contract that had a trigger in it for next year, and he hit that about seven or eight games into this season just gone. And along the way, clubs knew he might be either coming out of contract or have that trigger. And so we were having conversations with four or five other clubs. There were also a couple of interstate clubs that had inquired about him, but it was only probably ever going back to Victoria. He had a real desire to stay at Fremantle if we could make things work. And then, as I said, the off-season, just getting back home to family, around family with his girlfriend, just realised like that was really important to them. And Collingwood came up really late in the piece, post-grand final. Graham Wright and I had had a conversation. We'd sort of been in touch along the way, but it really started to seem like it was something they could do now. They felt like they had the assets that they could bring to the trade table with Fremantle, and accelerated pretty quickly late the week before the trade period and then over that weekend. And we ended up making contact with Fremantle on the Monday to broach the subject and see if it was something we could entertain.
So when you get to that point of, yeah, working out to entertain, is that, hey, Lachie, I understand you want to go to Collingwood. Let's just have a chat to Fremantle and make sure the deal can be done. Because we've heard about lots of deals that, you know, want to get done. For example, Harrison Petty more recently, where the discussion desire gets laid out, but the deal can't actually get done. Is that a really important part of the step as a manager to make sure that you're not leading your client down a path where, you know, nothing actually is going to come from it?
I think so. Like the first conversation that Lockie and I had was, well, you're contracted, mate, and Fremantle would have to do the right thing here by us, or be willing to do the right thing. But also, if we can't get a deal that's right for them, he is contracted and we honour that contract, and he would have gone back, albeit potentially under trying circumstances. But we did know he was contracted. We knew that Fremantle would have to cooperate. We then had a conversation with them to say, what could we do that would make it worth your while? Graham Wright, again, was terrific, and the conversations that he and David Walls had from the outset were very amicable. Collingwood weren't mucking around. They knew they had to probably over-deliver in terms of coming with trade assets to Fremantle. And I think that's what allowed it to gather some momentum and actually, in the end, become a deal. I think if we hadn't been realistic in the first place and know that we had to over-deliver in terms of the trade assets for Fremantle, then we probably wouldn't have got a hearing.
And Jason, I'm not sure how many players have delivered a video from Kenya, but that's where he is at the moment, isn't he? Sent a video to the Collingwood Army from Kenya.
Yeah, I think it's an original one, and I think we always keep finding with Lockie Schultz, he's quite original. So it was funny. The morning we had we felt like we were probably going to get it done, and I knew he was over in Kenya and out in a game park camping somewhere, and I just sent him a message saying, just putting you on standby, can you let me know where you might be as you travel through the day? And I didn't hear from him for 6 or 7 hours. I think probably the rest of Australia knew he'd been traded before he did. So, when he finally bobbed back up and had some Wi-Fi and were able to reach out on WhatsApp and make contact with each other, it was quite funny.
Jason, I think one thing that, our listeners would be interested to hear is, so now the trade gets done, realistically, what happens now with Lockie? How does he relocate his life, and how does he integrate to being a Collingwood player? Is there a formal process, or can you give our listeners a bit of an understanding from once he returns back from Kenya and dusts off his safari boots, what's next for him before he puts on the leather boots and runs around AIA Stadium?
Yeah, well, he's had a very informal meeting an informal tour of the facilities over the weekend before trade period. So I think a more formal introduction to their club and some of his teammates and the coaches that he'll have. And then no doubt he'll be back to Perth to pack up their house and move their life back to Victoria, and that'll be next. And then he's got some good mates back in Victoria that so he already have pretty close network to head back towards. But it'll be a different off season for him now once he gets back from his travels.
Geez, touring of the facilities in Melbourne, that's like footy's version of firewalking, isn't it, Jason? There wasn't a sighting, so you've done well there. Did you get him in the back door or something?
Yeah, you can always have a good plan and hope you don't get seen. So in this case, I think we were we planned it well and we're able to do it quietly, which we like to do it that way rather than make it too public.
Yeah, so you're based over there in Perth, a two-team town, as we know. Now, a lot was made of, I guess, Fremantle's retention ability off the back of Lockie choosing to go back for reasons that, as you've detailed, go beyond what the footy club were doing or not doing. Liam Henry as well, who has his own story. And I think there were maybe 17 players. The list was widely distributed over the last 5 years that have left Fremantle. So they've come in for a bit of stick, haven't they, about their ability to retain players. You deal with them often. I mean, what did you make of that? And was any of that warranted?
Oh, I think it's good headline stuff for you guys in the media, and it makes for good clickbait. I think the reality is probably 3 or 4 of those 10 or 12 players that were highlighted had been traded to Fremantle in the first place. Guys like Jesse Hogan and Rory Lobb, left for their own reasons. I think that all I'd say is I found Fremantle Football Club's a terrific football club. Under their current management regime with David Walls and Peter Bell, Simon Garlick, CEO, and Justin Lemieux, the coach, they're just a terrific, really well-run organisation. And I've got a number of players still at that football club. I feel like they're going in the right direction. They're very young. I think if they can add the right pieces over the coming years, and they've got some more assets to do that next year, I think they're in a super strong position to get back playing finals and challenge for top four.
You manage a young West Australian player that's at the Brisbane Lions, and that's Devon Robertson, who had a real decision to make, and we're told he really agonised over that. He was coming, he was going. In the end, he's recommitted to Brisbane when the lure, I'm sure, to get back to WA might have been relatively strong. I mean, how difficult a decision was this for one of your other clients in Dev Robertson, Jace?
Yeah, I think where the Lockie Schultz stuff might have happened really quickly, the Devon Robertson stuff really didn't happen quickly at all. It was probably a process we worked through from 12 months ago, even last trade period, where we had personal discussions between Dev and I, and then even an informal discussion with the club around, is that something they would entertain last year? And then it really just went through the 12 months of him being in and out of the side and on the periphery and weighing up whether he would stick it out there or whether he would entertain offers to come home. And the main offer did come from West Coast. Dev didn't meet or talk to any other clubs during that period. And so it really did come down to a decision at the end of the year as to would he look to come home and get to West Coast, or would he stay at Brisbane? And I think making the grand final, going through that finals period with all the boys, being so close and yet so far at the end of it all, I think he felt a real piece of unfinished business at Brisbane. And if I say nothing else about Devon Robertson, he's one of the most loyal people I've ever met. And every time we'd write a pros and cons list, loyalty was at the top of it. And so I think loyalty won in the end. I think trying to go around again with his team to have another crack at it was super important. And I think when it came down to making that decision to leave, he just wasn't ready. And yeah, he certainly flipped and flopped a little bit over that last week or so post grand final when he had to make his decision. But I know when we finally sat down and went through it together, he was adamant that staying was the right move, and I know the Brisbane Lions were thrilled to be able to keep him.
And I'm sure he's probably highly embarrassed by it all, but Jason, surely you've got him a contract on the side, some sort of modelling deal or something now that the Instagram profile skyrocketed once he got the kid off.
Yeah, he was a little bit embarrassed about it. I think I wasn't the only one ribbing him over that weekend afterwards, but he certainly copped it from his teammates and some old footy friends as well. But we're fortunate at TLA to have a really strong commercial department, and the guys got cracking. We had a lot of inquiries for him, and he's picked up a little bit of money
really?
Stuff and a bit of other stuff to work on. So
fantastic.
Yeah, he might see a bit of that floating around in the off season, but also know, yeah, post grand final, he was real ready to get back into footy as well. And,
yeah.
Hopefully win a flag with the Lions next year.
Well, he left his shirt off for a very long time, Jason, but it was a smart business decision. We all understand that. The one other aspect that you have to sort of deal with during the trade period is when you've got young up-and-comers who are looking to the draft, because draft picks start to become relatively important, especially if you're the pointy end. So Daniel Curtin's a young one, obviously a Perth lad, and that West Coast having pick one, the talk about picks two and three, do they trade, do they do a deal? You know, we all sort of get the understand that Curtin will sort of finish between two and five in the draft. One's probably already sewn up for Harley Reid. How do you manage those situations with those young players who are coming into the draft this year and with picks just moving around so freely, and they're sort of trying to, within a reason, guesstimate where they end up?
Yeah, it's a hard one because in the end it's a draft process, and now those draft picks can swap clubs even right up to the draft. So I think trying to predict the draft and where players might fall is really difficult. Someone like Dan, he's a terrific young man. He's got a very level head on his shoulders, and I think he understands going into a draft process. He understands there's no guarantees. I think there's a lot of fan speculation and media speculation around picks being traded and where he might fall amongst all of that together with Harley Reid, but I think both boys have handled that really well given that how inexperienced they are. And I think he'll just go into the draft, we'll see how all of that plays out on the night. He's happy to go anywhere. I'm sure he'd love to get to West Coast, but he's probably in a fortunate position that many other young guys around Australia would like to have, and just knowing he's probably a certainty to get his name called out on draft night, and he'll pack his bags and head to whichever club's lucky enough to pick him.
Hey, Jason, just one more before we let you go. I'm not sure what Phil thinks of this. He's a former teammate of his, of course, but did you ever think you'd have a client as a player, in this case Matt DeBoer, who would be sitting on the AFL Commission? And I imagine that's all due to your sound guidance over the years.
Yeah, I can safely say that Matt DeBoer being on the AFL Commission's got nothing to do with me. I'm really proud of Matt, and I know he's really close with Phil while they were at GWS together. And I think if there was another guy that might have been able to have a crack and get onto the commission before Matty, it might have been Phil. But I think they had some good times together at GWS. He's always been very learned, Matty, been very much a student of the game, but also very savvy off-field with his business interests and investment stuff that he's also working on. So, yeah, I was thrilled when he rang and let me know that that was going to happen. I think it'll be a tremendous addition. I think it's fantastic for our game to be able to have young players that are only fresh out of the game, and certainly bringing an off-field business investment acumen to AFL and the way we take the game forward. I think it's a great move to be able to get Matty onto there.
Jason, pleasure to talk to you, mate. Thanks for being so generous with your time. A job well done once again on Lachie Schultz, and as we detailed earlier, all the deals you've done in the past, your deals that you'll do in the future. Good luck for the draft with one of your main men, Daniel Curtin, as well. We appreciate you popping on.
Good on you guys. Thank you.